I'm Rich Kramer, and you're listening to a special collaboration of WPR regional programs, The West Side in Eau Claire, and Newsmakers in La Crosse. We're talking this hour about two different approaches that Minnesota and Wisconsin are taking towards the frac sand mining industry. In Minnesota, the Democrats have control of the legislature and have proposed a statewide frac sand mining moratorium and some mandatory environmental impact reviews and statements for all new mine sites. I believe it's over 40 acres. In Wisconsin, the state has stayed pretty much hands-off for the most part, other than air and water quality permitting through the DNR, leaving the majority of regulations to local towns and counties. So we've already delved into some of those different approaches that the states are taking and a little bit about the pros and cons of state versus local control. But now we're going to hear from the industry's side of the story, and we're going to get into some of your calls. I'd like to welcome now to the program Kirsten Pauly, and she is with the Minnesota Industrial Sand Council, which was created earlier this year to address concerns about frac sand mining. Kirsten Pauly, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And also with us for the remainder of the hour, hopefully, is Minnesota State Senator Matt Schmidt. Are you still there, Matt?
I'm still here.
All right, I appreciate it. And also Wisconsin State Senator Kathleen Weinhaut is on the program as well. Listeners, we're going to start working through your calls right now. If you'd like to call in, it's 800-228-5615. If the phone lines are busy, as they are right now, do check out the West Side Facebook page. That is the West Side Facebook page. You can put a question or comment on our wall. So now we're going to go to the phones, and first we're going to take a call from Linda in Baraboo. Linda, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Hi. Yes, I'm calling on behalf of CultureWorks, Inc., which is a nonprofit that was organized in order to explore and protect the effigy mounds of Wisconsin.
Okay.
In the lower Wisconsin Riverway, precisely the area that's proposed to be mined, is a wealth of ancient effigy mounds that were built 1,200 years ago. These aren't simply the burials of people who lived long ago. They're actually the burials of the ancestors of people who are still living today in Wisconsin. This issue is being totally ignored in all the debate about frac sand mining. We do have burial preservation law in Wisconsin, thankfully, or the sites would be destroyed altogether, that protects burial mounds within a 5-foot perimeter around them.
Mm-hmm.
However, no testing whatsoever has been done on the effects of regular blasting and heavy machinery within that proximity to these ancient sites.
Okay. Well, let me take it there and put that to Kathleen Weinhaut. And Senator Weinhaut, is that an issue that has come up before? Because it's a new one to me, the idea that this frac sand mining might disrupt some of these effigy mounds.
Yes, Rich, actually it has. I serve as a member of the State Tribal Relations Committee, which is the committee with the legislature, the only committee that where I actually get to deal with international issues. And our 11 tribes in the state are sovereign nations, and our work together is working out that relationship between sovereign nations. When I've talked with members of different tribes, one of the concerns that they've told me about is the difficulty in mapping the burial grounds. So right now, when we're working on these very large mines in western Wisconsin, one of the concerns is that we don't have the information to be able to say that for certain this area is not a burial ground. And all up and down the Mississippi, the first Americans, the Native Americans, traveled, and as they traveled, buried their dead. And sometimes there were very sacred sites where many, many mounds were in one place. And right now, Linda's absolutely right. This has not been much of the public discussion, but it is definitely on the minds of many of our Native American leaders.
You may have information related to the locations of those mounds, so please be in touch with me.
All right. Definitely, you two should connect, Kathleen Weinhaut and Linda of Baraboo. Thank you very much for the call, Linda. We're going to move on to Winona. We've got, I think it's the first caller we've had from Minnesota on the west side, and that makes sense because we're doing a collaborative show here, and the signal in La Crosse makes it well into Minnesota. So, Jim, you're on the air. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you, Rich. And I wanted to thank Senator Schmidt for his bill.
He's worked very hard on this, and he's standing up for the people in southeast Minnesota, so I strongly support his bill. And in fact, I don't think it actually goes far enough, but I think it's an excellent bill. I think since there are so many questions and research has not been done in a lot of the areas in terms of the health and safety issues of frac sand, I believe that governments need to err on the side of safety and caution. And a lot of times with frac sand mining, the government will say, well, we don't know if silica or how this will affect people living near a mine in terms of their lungs, or we're not sure about this, or we don't know about that. And instead of saying, and since we don't know, we will err on the side of caution, support the people, and not permit these facilities until we do know. Instead, they have been and I've been to many, many, many hearings and other meetings, and local governments, at least over here, have tended to, many of them, say, well, we're going to err on the side of giving industry whatever they want. And it all harkens back to what Senator Vinehouse said is the inequity, the David and Goliath. When you're whether it's a city council, whether it's a county board, or a township board, if you're facing a huge, huge threat of a lawsuit from the richest industry in the world, there's no way that you're going to oppose them. Because the citizens, I've been at hearings where 95% of the people testifying are much, much against frac sand mining. And then the local government will go ahead and permit the facility. So that is crazy, and I think we've had too much corporate abuse of power. Corporations rule the roost, and I think that it's time that local governments and state governments take a look at what is good for the health, safety, and welfare of the people, the citizens who elected them, because these frac sand and oil and gas opportunists did not elect them.
All right, Jim, thank you so much for the call. Senator Schmidt, a couple of laurels sent your way there. Any reaction?
Well, I'd just say, I'm trying to get this right, and I'm not picking sides here. I know that this is a passion issue that folks are really, opinionated about. But I think that we, in my angle on this, take a step back and just really focus on the local impact of mining silica sand in southeastern Minnesota and answering some of these questions that have been raised. And, I think there's a lot of other, related and tangential questions that arise here. But I'm just trying to focus in on the impacts on our local communities of mining.
All right. And I want to go to Kirsten Pauly here, because we've heard a lot about the concerns about frac sand mining. But what is the impact, or what would be the impact of a statewide frac sand mining moratorium in Minnesota to the industry and to businesses that are members of the Minnesota Industrial Sand Council?
Well, the impact of a moratorium would be additional delays in moving projects forward. In Minnesota, to get a project off the ground and permitted, there's quite a bit of time and money that is invested prior to getting any of the permits. And it's a little different than Wisconsin just because of the environmental review that's required if any of the projects are over 40 acres in size or more. An environmental assessment worksheet is required. And if the project is greater than 160 acres or more, an environmental impact statement is required.
Mm-hmm.
And those studies on the mines that have been through the process and permitted, those environmental studies take anywhere from, if it's just an environmental assessment worksheet, it's usually a 18-month to two-year process. And then some of the larger environmental impact statements have taken up to 4 years. And so there are a few projects that have been underway for the last couple years in the middle of a very specific site-specific environmental studies, and the stopping everything for a year and putting it on hold is just further delay for some of those projects that have already invested quite a bit of time and money.
And this kind of investment, I imagine there's jobs at stake as well?
Of course there are. Each project is different in terms of how large it is, how big of a processing facility would be, and how many employees. But For the most part, these are projects that would employ anywhere from 40 to 70 additional good-paying, high-quality jobs.
Kirsten, why do you think the citizens, at least the ones that are commenting here and at some of the public hearings, why do you think they want a more regulation or a statewide moratorium on frack sand mining in Minnesota?
Well, I think because there are genuine concerns, and I think that that's not a bad thing. I don't think that the public expressing concerns and demanding that the local government and the state agencies take a good hard look at these projects is at all unreasonable. And so I'm sure that's the root of it. And I think that they're doing a good job in making sure that the local governments and the state agencies are scrutinizing these projects, and that if there are potential issues, that there are measures and conditions put in place on the various permits that are required that adequately mitigate any potential impacts and monitor to make sure that the conditions are effective.
I'd like to go back to the phones right now. Guests, we're going to hear from Pete in La Crosse. And Pete, you're on the air. Thanks for hanging on the line. What's on your mind?
Hi, Rich, and yes. Here in Wisconsin, we can thank Governor Walker for prohibiting the siting of utility-scale wind turbines within 1,800 feet of homes, because they make noise and they're ugly. What is the minimum distance between homes and a proposed sand mine? What are those laws today? I'm guessing that it's a whole lot less than the 2,500-foot goal, which was mentioned at the earlier in the hour.
That's a great question. I'm going to put that to Senator Vinehone.
The answer is that there are no goal. There are no state regulations on setback, and the bill that I created would be the first to put the setback in statute.
So
right now it's all determined by the local ordinance.
Well, as in zoning or just the agreement that is forged with the frack sand mining operation?
I suppose it could be done by either.
Okay. All right. There you go, Pete. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Also, we're going to go now to Colfax, and we've got Brenda on the line. Brenda, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in to the Westside Newsmakers Collaboration here.
Thank you.
What's on your mind?
I have a question on reclamation.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if someone can answer to me where there has been some reclaimed land, and as they're going through these mines, how many acres can they do before they start reclaiming? Because I'm concerned that the land is going to be not usable.
Okay. Brenda, thank you for that. And again, back to Senator Vinehone, since this is the Wisconsin-centric question. As far as frack sand mining is concerned, Senator, do we have any examples of reclaimed mines? I think we spoke a little bit about that earlier.
No. For the most part, everything that we're talking about is new. It's so new that a lot of the mines have just barely gotten off the ground. There are a few mines, just a handful, that have been around for a long time period. But there are no rules, Brenda, on how much can be open at one time or how quickly the reclamation has to happen. All of this would be something that would be ironed out in a case-by-case basis as that conditional use permit came to each individual municipality, which is, of course, one of the problems we're facing right now is that local citizens have to be very careful about what's happening in their neighborhood because something could happen that they might not support. And really, right now, the only course is to show up at the local meetings and raise hell.
And that has happened quite a bit. And actually, there's been some really impressive groundwork among people that are opposed. There's been a lot of organization at the local level as far as the people that are concerned about frack sand mining. I want to go back to Matt Schmidt, senator from Minnesota. And the regulations that are in place, there was a piece in Minnesota Public Radio done by them that shows that regulations already are much stronger on frack sand mining, or more. I don't know. They're tougher than they are in Wisconsin as far as frack sand mining. Do we get to a point ever that where we go a little overboard, and then you do sacrifice the investment in the state by this industry?
Well, I think that's a good question, Rich, and I thanks for raising it. You know, Minnesota, I think, does have a stronger standards and state laws in place. And I think there's a reason why we've seen so much activity in the last couple of years regarding silica sand mining in Wisconsin versus Minnesota. But the question remains, when the demand for silica sand ticks up here in the years ahead, as it's expected to, are we in a position to adequately permit and have ordinances in place for this? And the concern here is that we still don't know what we need to know about impacts on water, and on air quality, and on our regional roads. And I think there's a fear that if you have a lot of trucks either crossing the border from Wisconsin into Minnesota and dumping sand in stockpiles, putting it onto trains, and processing it in the meantime, you know, what's the impact that is that going to have on our local communities? Similarly, if we have a infrastructure in place and in mines spread up all around southeastern Minnesota, Are we knowing what we're getting into? And I think that this is an opportunity for us to slow things down a little bit and answer those questions, and just make sure that we've got our facts straight before we go forward. And I think that there's certainly a role for sand mining in southeastern Minnesota in the future, but we've got to make sure we know what we're getting into. And as I had said previously, this is a great opportunity for us to answer a couple of these questions and have a clear path moving forward.
Kirsten, Pauly, do you think that there needs to be more study on things like the water quality issues, the air quality, silica dust issues, or do you think that's already been done at local levels in Wisconsin and Minnesota, or do you think the state really needs to be involved in further study?
Well, I think with the environmental review program that's in place, those things do get studied on a site-specific basis. When you talk about things like slowing down to answer questions about traffic and the trucks, there's a couple sites that have been permitted in Minnesota, as well as a couple other projects that are in the middle of the permitting process, that are all located on rail lines, and they don't haul on the roads. And so to stop the progress of that permitting to study traffic for sites that are located 150 miles away doesn't seem to make sense. Similar situation is water. If you're in an area that there's karst and there's trout streams, if those sites are being proposed, those issues need to be studied specifically with what is being proposed with that project. And if you're in an area that doesn't have karst and not near trout streams, I don't think that project should be put on hold while the state studies something that isn't an issue. And that's not to say that these other projects don't have their own site-specific areas that need to be studied thoroughly, but I think that's where our existing environmental review program really shines, is that it takes each project and looks at the environmental conditions around that particular project and performs a thorough assessment of them.
I'd like to go back to the phones now. By the way, listeners, we do have one open phone line at this point. The number is 800-228-5615 to call in with your question or comment. We probably can only take one or two more calls before the program ends at the top of the hour. But right now we've got Willem on the phone from Colfax. Willem, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Well, I think the difference between Minnesota and Wisconsin is that Minnesota seems to be looking out for the citizens of that seem to be looking out for the citizens of their state, where our state, our governor and the legislature are looking out for the interest of the mining companies. So I think that's one large district difference. And I understand that Governor Walker's also appointed some more people to help facilitate the sand industry in the state.
Yeah,
the thing that I really wanted to comment on is that things are happening so fast where I live, close to Cooks Valley, where if anybody wants to see what this is going to look like, you should take a trip to Cooks Valley or check out this documentary with also photos of a mine at a place called thepriceofsand.com. Mm. And when I expressed my concerns to Senator Moulton about the fact that they put two sand processing plants in the village of New Auburn within like a half a mile upwind of the elementary school where children play in the playground every day, he said that was fear-mongering when it's a well-known fact that silica dust is it causes lung problems over long-term exposure. And so I think that this is happening really, really fast, and I think that our governor, this sort of cynical local control, pitting local boards against the huge interests of the oil and gas people, is really a big concern. And the other thing that I think hardly ever gets mentioned is the fact that there are plans to export this sand. So mm-hmm. people think this is just for our domestic use. And they're removing whole ridges permanently from our, there's no restoration. These are permanently removed. First, they clear cut all the forest, and then they remove the whole ridge.
All right, Willem, thank you very much for the call. I want to get to Senator Vinehout for a response. First of all, is this political? I mean, is the difference in the approaches from Minnesota and Wisconsin, is it based on the fact that Minnesota is currently controlled by the Democratic Farm Labor Party, and Wisconsin is controlled, the legislature is controlled by Republicans, conservative Republicans that are very pro-business?
Well, I think that there is a different ideology among some Republicans and some Democrats, but really protecting the public is something that everyone who is given the responsibility of representing others in government, that's really their responsibility. It's their job to think, what is the people's best interest, and to weigh the balance on every decision that we make. So I would certainly hope that everyone who held an elected office at every level of government steps back and thinks, what is the best interest of the public? That means not only the business that is the sand mine, but the business that is tourism, the business that is the farmer, the neighbor, the person who drinks the water, the children in the playground, the older people who have sand in the air and can't breathe. That's our job. Our job is to balance all of those interests and put the people's interests first. And it pains me to no end to see situations where that does not happen among my colleagues.
And, at these hearings in Minnesota, Senator Vinehout, I've heard many times that folks in Minnesota don't want what happened in western Wisconsin to happen to them. And their explanation of that is that there was a complete overrun of the industry. What are your thoughts on that, real quick?
Well, I know the people in St. Charles, when they argued against this, one of the mine owners said, "Well, we'll go to Wisconsin, where people and communities really want this." And I take issue with that, because 95% of the constituents who have contacted me are opposed to the sand mine. So I don't think the people in Wisconsin feel differently than the people in Minnesota. I think the difference is among the leaders right now, and there's an ideology that's driving some of our leaders in Wisconsin to think of nothing but the promise of jobs, and not to think of the future, and not to think of the substitution of jobs when we have tourism industries that have to close up shop because they've lost their business because of the mines.
All right. Now, Senator Schmidt, I wanted to know, included in your legislation or any companion legislation that's in the Minnesota House or the Senate, is there any provisions where it would require the Department of Health there in Minnesota to study ambient silica dust standards, such as for PM2.5, which is respirable silica, the silica so small that you can actually breathe it into your lungs and it actually enters your bloodstream?
Yeah, Rich, there is actually a provision for that. We're asking the Department of Health to establish a clear standard for PM4 particulate matter. And, of course, this is a known carcinogen in a closed environment in an occupational setting. We just don't know if this is safe or if it's dangerous in an open environment where it's blowing around. I'd like to believe it's safe, but we just don't know that. And that's one of those unknowns that, keeps coming up in our local decision, or our local discussions on this issue. And I think for us to be able to move forward, we need to spend the time to get a clear answer to that question, as well as questions relating to water quality and quantity, and also the traffic issues and the economic impact. I think the point was raised earlier by the Senator from Wisconsin about substitution effects. This isn't just about adding jobs. This is about the threat to losing jobs, too, in a tourism economy in southeastern Minnesota. So you know, I can't stress this enough. This is, you know, one of those opportunities in life we have to get it right, to ask the questions ahead of time, not to ask the question, why didn't we do something when we had the chance? And that's why we're taking the time to talk about this in the legislature right now. And we have very specific things we're asking our agencies to do, very specific questions we want to get answers to in studies. And I think this process is going to be very beneficial for everybody involved, whether it's industry or local decision makers or concerned citizens. We want a clear path forward. We want answers to these unknown questions, and I think we're setting up a process to get just there.
All right. Well, I wish we had more time, folks, for this program. Thank you all very much. That's our time. I'd like to thank my guests for their part in this important Fracs and discussion, including Kirsten Pauley of the Minnesota Industrial Sand Council, Minnesota State Senator Matt Schmidt, and Wisconsin State Senator Kathleen Vinehout. Thank you all for taking the time. I'd also like to thank Rick Stuttleman for participating in the first half, Rick Stuttleman of the Wisconsin Towns Association. And a big thanks to all of the people that helped make this program possible this hour. That is including the folks in Eau Claire like Mort Cypress, Henry Lippold, Hannah Weichel, Grace Fair, Hillary Cruzan. I'm going to forget somebody. But also the thanks to the folks in La Crosse, Maureen McCollum, John Gatto, Steve Roysom, John Davis, Tammy Bartles. You guys are great. This is the West Side and Newsmakers talking about Fracs and... Thanks for listening, folks. We'll chat again next week.